We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Kirk Your Enthusiasm. This is an incredibly impromptu episode where I am joined by my friend Jason Gallagher and my other friend Tyler Parker. Now, you guys might be wondering why this came together in a rush. Simple fact of the matter is, we don't have a lot of time till the series starts, and I like asking people for favors in the last minute. Guys, tell us your background together and why in the world you guys wanted to do this show, because I think you need this. You two need this before the Thunder play the Mavericks.
Our background. First off, thanks for having me. I got so much to get off my chest. One of them, I didn't realize your intro music was so sexy. That's some sexy music. All right. Tyler and I, we went to college together. We were very good friends. We actually used to not like each other at first because my wife and I were an on and off again relationship. And she started like hanging with Tyler, and I was like, who's this?
We weren't romantically hanging.
And you're in shape and tall and handsome, and it drove me crazy.
You didn't know the context of in which of the hanging,
right? And you would hang out, you would hang out and like watch Dawson's Creek with her, and I'd be like, are you kidding me right now?
I'm a catch. What can I say?
And then we grew to be very good friends. We lived across the street from each other in college, and we a lot of late nights, fun times. And then we both went to Chicago around the same time to do comedy. He was much more successful than I was, but he was very funny and good. And then started a blog together, Baller Ball. We both moved to LA around the same time, a couple years apart. So we've always been in each other's orbits, which has been great.
Baller Ball is very important in my comments. Knows what the fuck Baller Ball is, but that's okay. So okay, you guys are your friends. You go way back. At what point did the basketball element enter your relationship, and what was that like?
I mean, pretty early. I feel like it was like I knew Jason was a Mavs fan. That was something that he led with. That was, you know, that was
still lead with that.
That was one of the first couple talking points.
Ted Mosby, architect, Jason Gallagher, Mavs fan.
It was like Mavs fan. Another thing about me, big Dirk fan. Another thing about me, the basketball stuff kind of from jump, we would talk about it and stuff. I was playing at OBU, like I was on the team. And so, you know, we just got along because we both were watching sports, I think more than we were both watching and paying attention to basketball, I think more than some of our other friends were.
Yeah. And I'll just also add, It's all kind of coming back to me in the last like 48 hours because I've had some folks I've had some folks text me that are Oklahomans that said how big a dick I was back then. But there's a couple things. One is when I moved to Oklahoma from Texas, I had no Texas pride, zero whatsoever, couldn't care less, whatever. But then people would just like get in your face and be like, Texas suck. And you're it doesn't suck. It's like, fine. It doesn't suck. And like, there's a lot of that. And then when I first moved there too, there were a lot of Mavs/Dirk fans that like jumped ship. And at the time I was like very,
That's right. I remember this
this. Yeah. And I was like, you cowards, you blah, blah, blah. And, and so, I never really a lot of people, probably heard a lot of crap from me, and that was stupid, but it is what it is.
I forgot about that part of things. I do remember a big talking point early on being that Cuban was one of the only owners that voted against the relocation. Like he was like one of like two, I think maybe, he the only one? Can't remember which.
He's losing some fans, yeah, for sure.
And no, it made business sense, but that's one of those things that now you look back on and you just.
It was like him and Donald Sterling, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So just like two really neat guys on the right side of history.
The other, you know, what's really funny is that I think Royce, Thunder guy Royce's old email was the same as my personal email. My personal email is JasonGallagher41 after Dirk Nowitzki. And he had a very similar email. Number 41 was in it because he grew up a Mavs fan, grew up a Dirk fan.
Okay. Question: at what point the Thunder moved to from Seattle in 2008?
Yes,
is that right? So, where were you guys at that point in time in your respective lives?
I was a junior in college. Sophomore. Perfect. I was a sophomore in college.
Perfect. Okay, this is right when you have the kind of time to watch sports and be angry. Dedicate unreasonable amounts of emotional energy towards your sporting team.
The realization, Kirk, that in my shitty little dorm room, I could watch NBA basketball on like local cable I went to school in Shawnee, but that's very close to Oklahoma City. Just on our regular cable, you were getting Thunder games. And before that, unless it was a nationally televised game, you weren't watching any NBA games. Just that, like getting to watch a game in my dorm, I remember just being blown away at like that it was even possible.
Yeah, that's – and I want to add that, I mean, I used to go to a ton of Thunder games. I think I went to the first –
season. You would go with those guys. You would go. Yeah, you would dress up.
Yeah. We would dress in togas and go. We call ourselves the gods of thunder, and they were like, "We'll give you tickets if you keep dressing up." And so we did.
That's right.
And now they freaking took our little thing as the mascot's origin story. He was created by the.
How many times is this going to happen to you, Jason? Where you create intellectual property for basketball teams? They just fucking take it from you.
I really like the Thunder organization. They've done nothing but nice things for me. So we are all square there.
Okay. So
can I also just say one more? Sorry, Kirk, but can you start introducing me as produces the LeBron James podcast rather than the James?
Do you want to know why? Do you want to know why I don't call it? Because I can never remember what it's called. I can never remember what the LeBron James Reddick podcast is called.
It's fine.
Like, I want to, like, smarmy assholes.
Mind the game.
See, it's fantastic. It's Jason is multi-talented. I never know what to, I should just call you the editor-in-chief of the Baller Ball and leave it in that. which would be, okay. So before you got on, Tyler, Jason told me a little brief story that at one point in time, you and he lived together. And there was a rule that you guys were not allowed to talk basketball. Mavericks.
My wife kind of was like, you guys got to stop because
I remember that we would get into a lot of heated debates of the hot button topics were
Jason Terry,
big hot button topic.
Big one. Don't you speak ill of him.
Big hot button. Look, I'm on a mass pod. I'm going to be on my best behavior here. I'm not.
Gonna you can talk all the shit. That's fine.
No, I mean, look, you know, I'm happy for Jet glad that he could be creative enough to come up with that cool nickname nobody's ever had before, Jet.
Jason Eugene.
Hey, did y'all want to know what my nickname is? You know this sport I play? The station that is most synonymous with it, their lead analyst. Yeah, it's his same, exact same.
It's his initials.
I know. Still.
He does the flying thing. It's cool.
Come on. The flying thing is not cool. We're removed enough from it. The flying thing is not cool.
You win a championship, it's cool. That's my take. Sure. If you lose every playoff series and you keep doing a bow and arrow thing like Wesley Matthews, not cool.
Not cool. Okay.
Jason Terry, to me, it was the poster child for the guy who, like, his team is on a run and he takes the bullshit charge in the backcourt. That's not actually a charge, but he flails and the crowd goes crazy and the ref calls a charge. And then he gets up and starts pounding his chest and asking the crowd for more noise and zooming around.
Jalen Williams then?
No, he would be barking, Jason. Get it right.
Hold on. You know what's funny though? Is that I was thinking to myself, like, what was it that I would say about the Thunder that would get you mad? And it's actually replaying in my head right now because I'm thinking, like, this is the same mother effer who would cheer on James Harden and would have to go to a commercial break. And after the slow-mo above the camera, you see that he never got hit and he just lied.
This is why we had to do this. Like, you guys need to reignite the hatred.
James Harden would literally lay on the ground for the entire commercial break, and then they're like, he never got hit. What do we do? And you're talking about Jason Terry?
Look, I'm not a James Harden fan. You know what I mean? Now. I'm not into it.
Now.
I can't speak to that. That does sound like me, but I can't speak to that. That's from another life. And so, no, I will say this. I do remember as a Thunder fan who, especially after some of his playoff success, I remember being like, wait, is this guy my favorite one out of the three of these dudes? Is this guy my favorite one? He's a lot of fun against the Spurs. That was a lot of fun in game five. Is he my favorite?
Yeah.
And the thing that would keep him from ultimately ever becoming my favorite was this sort of stuff. The phantom elbow that didn't connect, but we grab our – it was the theatrics got in the way of which that has proven to be his MO. So, you know, yeah.
So I have a couple of questions because we have like 10 minutes. Then Jason and I both have to go do things. The first question, Tyler, who are some of your least favorite Dallas Mavericks?
JJ Barea, for sure.
Wow, fast. Get that on the clip.
JJ Barea is my least favorite kind of instigator. And I understand I'm talking about a Mavs legend and I respect that he did what he did at 5'5 or whatever he is. Obviously, incredibly skilled,
We know.
No. It's fine. No, this is pure hate. I need the hate. That's what this is about. Like, this is such a touchy-feely series coming, and I need to be angry.
He is the kind of player that would act like he wasn't an instigator. He wouldn't, like, be loud and proud about his instigations. He would be tugging on shorts, giving little elbows, flopping. Things like that, and taking advantage of the fact that he was small. I understand he had to do that in order to survive, but then he would act so above it whenever players would get mad at him. And he would be like, why are you? He would be incredulous that players would be frustrated with him when his entire thing is trying to get people mad at him.
It's fantastic. So, who else?
Yes.
Where does Salim Edry fall in your?
Oh my God, I did hate Salim Edry so much.
You want to know?
I also hate Salim Edry, so I get it.
That is one of my least favorite. Yeah,
he stayed on the roster for like a couple years simply because like Luka just loved him, and like Luka was like it was like his older brother, and if anyone messed with Luka. That's why I'm like, thank God we have like a Gafford type right now because like we didn't have that forever.
I gotta tell you, I call into question Luka's decision making if he's seeing a lot of good in Salim Mejri. You know what I mean? I don't like
he latches on like so. Rick Carlisle was apparently really mean to Mejri and he hated Rick, so he was like he took him on like they were teammates on old team, but that like made him double down.
Really. Got you. But who I do remember. Who were the other guys?
I got one. Like, when you see Ray Felton nowadays, and if you haven't seen Ray Felton nowadays, it's quite the look. He is a he's expanded, what I'll say.
Yes. As we all have, you know.
Yeah.
Right, but he's in particular. Can you believe Ray Felton single handedly beat the Thunder in a playoff game?
I'll tell you what is even more brutal is that happened, and then I had to cheer for him futilely years later as my Thunder got pieced out of the first round by the Blazers in 2019. That was a sobering moment in my life as an NBA fan is when I was like, man, we need Felton to play better. And it's like, oh no, if that's where you're at, if that's where your mind goes, like, man, we need some help. Let's turn to Ray. Even at that point, you know, you just, it's, that's not good news for your team. But that said, he always played very hard when he was with the Thunder. But yes, I do remember hating him during the series you're talking about.
Jason, do you have any Thunder players beyond James Harden that you truly loathe?
Man, not really. I didn't like Perk at the time. I remember
I haven't liked Perk since I was 17 years old, and I've discovered him out in Beaumont Ozen, Texas. And his
he had a year where he went at Durant. It was just after he retired. That was a solid Perk year. But I didn't like him when he played. I didn't like Kevin at the time. But I didn't loathe him, but I didn't like him. But what's funny about me is that, and Tyler knows this, that Russ is like my favorite non-Maverick of all time. I love Russ. I know it was, especially after this Clippers series, that's a weird thing to say, but he performed when he played. And I like really love players that understand that this is like a really rare opportunity. Let's have some fun with it.
Some children who are on the sidelines.
He would make it feel like an event, you know?
Yeah. And I think Jalen Williams has a lot of that in him too. He seems to understand, you know, in terms of just straight performance, it's like he's going to be the one that when he hits a three, he's going to be the one that like looks in the stands. If they do eliminate the Mavericks in seven, he's going to be the one on the scorer's table probably.
Yeah.
So perfect. I think that's why I've always loved Russ. He's just always so ferocious and fun. And
Let me say this about them, because I want to say something positive about the Mavs, because I have a lot of positive feelings towards the Mavs. And I want you to know I have so much respect for the Mavs that I'm not doing my Ricks bit, which I thought about doing, but I decided against it.
Great bit.
I like it, but I just wanted to, you know, one of my favorite basketball players of all time is specifically Mavs, Nick Van Exel.
Ooh,
and
yes.
Some of those performances that he had against the Kings in particular are like hit me at a time in my basketball life where I was like, this is my guy. Like, this is my guy. This is my aesthetic right here. Yeah. Whatever this guy's got going on, how he's playing. Hell yes. This seems great. That was always one. And I also always had a lot of love for the Mavs because Eduardo Nájera played there for a while.
Yeah.
And if you give me a Sooner, I will always keep tabs.
If you ever want to go down a hilarious Mavericks rabbit hole, when they drafted, they had like, I want to say four draft picks in the 2000 draft. And he is the only person to have panned out, because that 2000s draft was historically awful. Cause that was the one Kenyon Martin went number one overall. If you go look at it, and like the Mavericks, it was Cuban's first year drafting. It's why he hated the draft, because he traded all in for all these guys and every single one of them sucked, except for late second rounder Eduardo Nájera, toughest motherfucker alive. That dude was a hoss. Yes.
Dude, that guy got multiple stitches right above his eye during a Sweet 16 game
against Michigan State. And he played.
He went off, got the stitches, came back in, and the next time that he was in, he like goes in for an offensive rebound and about gets a tip in. He's a lunatic. He's amazing. Oh, yeah. Loved Eduardo Nájera.
Well, this is far too much love. You guys are gonna hate each other by the end of this, at least a little bit. No, not even.
There's a couple things. We've both grown up, we've matured, we have children.
Do you pass the hatred on?
Well, I think unfortunately for me, Isaac has experienced the barking in the Thunder Arena, and that has had an impact on his life. He loves
bark at you.
He barks at everything. He needs to back it down a little bit, because like I was saying this the other day, but like when I took him, like Isaiah Joe hit a three and he literally went and I was like, that's not when you do that.
It makes me so happy.
He really loves the barking. I mean, Luca is his favorite player, and I think that he
my child has adopted too much Luca. He got pass interfered at a flag football game, like got planted on his face, and got up and screamed at the ref. And Tyler, he's 8, so not great. It's not good.
I will also say that the other really fun wrinkle to this series is that I think both crowds are pretty good. And they're very different in their goodness. Like the Thunder are like a steady drum beat, but I do kind of think like the Mavs arena, when it gets loud, can get really like in those big.
I've always thought Dallas has a good crowd.
And it might be because it's like, it's doesn't have the steady drum beat. So like when they do defense, like
very emotional,
people don't do that. But like when it hits, it hits. And I'll be interested to see, because neither of them had great home away. You know, like the Clippers aren't a great home crowd, and neither are the Pelicans. So I think Luka like loves that environment. I think he's going to like have a good time.
I think it's close to a European environment because of its pettiness. It's like the noise and the loud.
I don't think anybody expects Luka to be intimidated though. I think Thunder fans are you know that they can be loud, but I don't think that they're out there like, we're going to be so loud, Luka's not going to know what hit him. You know what I mean? Like I think they know he's amazing.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Sorry. I was reading the comments. I'm really confused.
No, don't read the comments.
He's going for.
See, that's like the post-game comments are even crazier when you get like the Kyrie fans versus the Luka fans versus the Clipper fans last game. It was just people just love to argue on the internet, whereas I like to argue on the internet while speaking to somebody. All right. So I think Jason and I have to go. I need predictions, and then we'll go. Tyler, you first.
I'll say Thunder in 7. Ooh. I think it'll be a long one, and I think that it'll be very intense and physical, and I think both fan bases will be upset with the refs at different points for essentially the same things.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that too. I think I'm just going to go Mavs in 7 for similar reasons. And I don't think either one of us would be surprised if it went the other way.
No, but, for sure.
But it's going to be interesting just because like the narratives and stuff like that they're going to be kind of like the MVP stuff's going to come out. Like it's going to get a little annoying. It'll be interesting to see how annoying that gets. Like I'm really interested in the discourse around this series. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's got the potential to be one of those, like, you know, a lot of big sways, you know, like maybe the Mavs win game one and Luka torches everybody for 44. And it's like, you know, the king hath come again, you know, and then like maybe the Thunder win the next two games and Luka kind of bothers them and Lou kind of bothers Luka and Luka still goes for 30 or something, but it's a little inefficient, whatever. And then people are like, well, is there a Luka stopper now? And then Luka goes for 35 on 14 shots in game. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like it would be very easy to get one of those.
I know that Kirk is a big, he loves to plug things for people. So I'm going to ask just real quick. There is a great little segment on this week's Mind the Game about Lou Dort. LeBron is a massive Lou Dort fan. And so they talked about, how do you go about playing playoff basketball with somebody like that on you? It's good. It's really good.
Do Mavs fans ever talk about how Luka said that Dort was the best guy that guards him?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Oh, yeah. We talk about it, and many Thunder fans have put it in my comment.
Whenever I hear Lou Dort, my problem is that whenever I hear Lou Dort, I think of the Netflix show Octonauts, which my son watched on repeat, and there was something called Creature Report, and it's like, Lou Dort, Lou Dort, and it just plays in my head on repeat. My wife is telling me I have to go immediately. You guys are absolutely the best. Find Jason at Mind the Game, and what is it called? Mind the Game?
Mind the game. You got it right.
Okay. He looked at me like I got it wrong. I'm like, am I that fucking stupid? The LeBron Pod. Okay. Yeah. Type LeBron James Pod. You can find Tyler stuff on this cool little website called Amazon.com. A Little Blood, A Little and Dancing, a novel, which I will tell Tyler my dad's review of it later. It brought me to tears. It wasn't for me, which tickled me to pieces, but it was an outstanding novel. I cannot recommend it enough out there on Amazon. You can also Tyler at Ringer, where he does all sorts of things, sometimes where I'm very confused as to if I'm watching a bit or not, and that's how good the acts are. Guys, thank you so much for taking time with me. I hope we enjoy the series, and maybe we will talk at another time. You guys are the best.
Thanks, buddy. Always good.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye, y'all.